Amen. Psalm 61. Psalm 61 is a psalm of David, and it's actually a couple of different aspects of the psalm. In the beginning of it, it's considered a prayer or a psalm of lament. Lament is when you're in despair or in grief or depressed or discouraged or having some type of struggle. But now to understand what David has to lament over, you really have to go back into the book of 2 Samuel and read chapters 12, 13, 14, and 15. We're not going to read that today, but I'm going to give you a crash course on what happened. All right? David saw a young lady he liked. Unfortunately, she was married to somebody else. You know, one thing I like about the Bible is the Bible tells everybody business. The Bible don't leave nothing out. David liked somebody else's wife, and he decided, I'm the king. I don't care. Now, her husband was out of town. Now, her husband was out of town doing what David was supposed to be doing. David was supposed to be out of town along with her husband fighting on the battlefield. But see, you can get a whole lot of trouble when you laying around when you're supposed to be out doing something. That's why everybody need a job. Because when you got too much time on your hands, you start to notice stuff you ain't supposed to be noticing. And because he lunching when he's supposed to be at war, oh, come on now, he's seeing stuff he ain't supposed to see. And unfortunately, sometimes once you see something, you feel obligated to do something about it. I like the Bible because it's real. So David see, and apparently he the king now. He already got a bunch of wives and concubines, but this chick must have been all that. He said, despite all I already got, I see something I really like. So make a long story short, they get involved. And she gets pregnant. Problem is, her husband out of town. So you know what's going to happen is he's going to know it ain't his. So David, being the king, gets slick and decides to send for him, have him come home. But he gets home and he decided, my man is at war. I'm not going to be spending time with my wife while my men on the battlefield. So he wouldn't even spend time with his wife. That blew David's whole plan. You know, it's amazing how when you want to do wrong, it seems like nothing worked out for you. And so the problem is they don't have Planned Parenthood. So David can't do nothing about the baby. So he got to do something about the husband. And he has the husband killed. What? David? Oh, my God. Yeah, people actually bump folk off in the Bible. All right? I don't even want to get into that. But anyway, he has the man killed. But he figured it's safe now. You know, I often wonder why David resorted to murder. Well, first of all, murder accompanies the spirit of adultery. That's a whole nother sermon. I'm not going to preach on that today. But the thing of it is David was really between a rock and a hard place, because when the war was over and Uriah came home and his wife was with baby, and he knew he hadn't done it, he could have had her stoned to death. So David's thing is, if I kill him, won't nobody know it ain't his, because they know he came home, and we'll cover up the whole thing. And David figured he got away. The problem is God see everything. And God sends a prophet to David and basically blows the whole thing out the water. David is caught. But the prophet goes and says, but because you have done this thing, the sword is never going to pass from your house. See, because David wouldn't go to fight, he was going to always have to fight. See, you know, I understand we got this thing where nobody wants to fight and everybody, but there's some fights you got to fight so you don't have another fight. Some battles you got to win to eliminate future battles. Hello? That's why you can't, there's certain things you can't, I don't even want to get into it, but there's some fights you just got to fight. You either fight now while it's easy or you fight later when it's hard. Okay, but the other thing that the king, that the prophet told him is that not only you have done this thing, so let me tell you something, it's going to cost you a lot. Said, as a matter of fact, all your women gonna be dealt with by somebody else. See, sometimes when you think you're doing a little thing, you done open the door to much bigger stuff. But that ain't all. Then David, one of David's sons, likes a daughter by another wife. And he rapes his daughter. And after raping his daughter, one of her brothers decides he's going to kill the brother that raped the girl. But he waits 2 years. See, everything don't hit you all at once. See, you open the door and think, because, you know, I used to have an expression, just because you didn't hear the trap snap don't mean you didn't get caught. So Absalom waits 2 years to get back even. I'm telling you, now, you know, my grandmother, she told me that, you know, I had a rough childhood. I used to get beat up a little bit from time to time. So one year, this real big kid, my grandma said, don't worry about it. Wait, let some time pass, like next year maybe, and when he done forgot about it, sneak up on him and weigh him out. I didn't realize that was Old Testament. So Absalom waited 2 years to get his half-brother back. And here's how he did it. He invited him to a party. I'm telling you, the Jews must be half-colored. Because if somebody invite us to a party, we don't even think about the dirt we done to them. We think it's a party. So the brother that done the dirt show up to the brother's house whose sister he done raped for the party. I mean, free food, free liquor. We can't turn down the word free. But Absalom had told his servants, listen, as soon as my brother's drunk, kill him. Now, you got to understand, he done invited all David's sons to the party. So he tried to get David, David wasn't coming. But all the brothers are there. This one brother gets drunk, and the servants kill him. Now, I'm going to tell you one thing when folks start getting hurt. Everybody know it's time to leave. So all of David's other sons figure Absalom trying to kill all of us, so they split. That's smart. See, don't try to find out who else they're trying to kill. Leave and get the report later. So they all split. I'm telling you, the Bible real. They all split. But word gets back to David that all his sons have been killed, so, except Absalom. So he think, oh, my God, all these boys been killed. Later on, he finds out only one, and he understands why that one got it. He ain't like it, but he understood. But Absalom knows I done bumped off one of the king's kids. He don't go home. Ain't it amazing how we know when to stay out? So he stays out. He stays out of the house for 2 years. And finally, through a chain of events, he ends up being allowed back in the house, but he can't go see the king. The king don't want to see his face. But then David's heart kind of gets a little, and he says, all right, let me see the kid. You know, let him come on in. Hey, all is well. You alive? Yeah, okay, fine, fine. Let bygones be bygones. But Absalom decides he wants to be king now. So he stands outside the king's house, and everybody that's going to see the king, he sits there and tell him, yo, psst, David ain't got time for you, but if I was king, I'd answer all your questions. Man, I'd see to it that your food stamps came in all right. Man, I'd see to it you wouldn't have no problem with Section 8. I'd have everything all worked out. You wouldn't even have no problem, and we would be bored. Everything would be cool. So he does this, and over a period of years, he wins the whole heart of the nation. And so he decides that he now wants to be king. So he goes to another city and said, listen, when I get to where I'm going, let word get out that I have now established my throne in this other city. And so that's what happens. And all Israel goes to go meet Absalom and as the new king. Now, meanwhile, back at David's house, word gets to David, yo, your boy done set up a throne in another city. Now, David ain't stupid. David says, pack up, y'all. We got to go. Why? Because he coming for us. He coming for us. And so David packs up his house. But he says, listen, let the concubine stay here. But we got to go. And so David packs up and splits. Now, here's the other thing. You know, when it rains, it pours. Now, remember, he done started this mess messing with somebody else's wife. Now he being ran out of his own house. Okay? For his life. Okay? All right? By one of his own kids who done murdered another kid who had raped one of his other kids. Would you say he jacked up right about now? Is it safe to say he in a messed up situation right about now? Well, now, not only does he leave, but his chief counselor, a man by the name of Ahithophel, decides to join with his son against him. So now your chief advisor. And a matter of fact, the Bible goes on and said that Ahithophel's counsel was as the oracles of God. So now you got somebody that's got divine wisdom and he ain't on your side. Y'all get that? Absalom comes to town because he did come looking to kill his father. David then left. So then he sees the concubines. And Ahithophel says, go see all your daddy's women and let all Israel know you've been with them. Remember the prophet told him, just because you mess with Uriah's woman, now everybody going to be his own son. Now they got all his concubines. So when David sits down to write Psalm 61, he has got a great reason to lament. He done been chased out of his house, ran out of Jerusalem. He can't get to the temple of worship. He can't lay down in his own bed. Come on. His women gone. His kid is crazy. His advisor is making war against him. All right. They're trying to kill him. And so David begins Psalm 61 by, hear my cry, O God. Attend unto my prayer. Can you imagine? See, there's sometimes when you pray. But there's other times when you pray. There's sometimes when you go through the motions of talking to God. There's other times when you really want God to hear you. And David doesn't just say, hear me. He says, hear my cry, oh God. Attend unto my prayer. Listen, I don't know about all the other times, but this time I really need you to hear me. My life is all jacked up. My own son trying to kill me. My women are gone. I can't even sleep in my own bed. I can't even get to the temple to worship you. Hear my cry, oh God. Attend unto my prayer. From the ends of the earth will I cry unto you. Think about that for a second. David has been chased out of his house where he paid the bills. He chased out of the kingdom where he's supposed to be king. So his authority has been stripped. His place of comfort has been removed. Oh, y'all ain't feel it. See, sometimes we get in trouble and it ain't because of us, but they sometimes... we actually had a hand in the mess we find ourselves in. See, sometimes we done been ran out because of us. But rather it's because of us or because of somebody else. If you don't cry out to God, you ain't getting no help. See, sometimes we so stuck up, we stupid. We think we can still figure it out. But the one thing I like about David, David had enough sense to know, I know part of this mess is my fault. I understand that some of this stuff is because of the mess I made. Because, see, the truth of the matter is, he should have beat Absalom behind for killing that boy. I don't care if he felt justified. See, you got to understand, if he waited 2 years, that's premeditated. See, he didn't do this in the heat of the moment. He plotted this thing. See, he wasn't enraged and just did it out of... you know, wasn't a crime of passion. It was straight up revenge. Cold-blooded. And yet, he treated that boy like he had done nothing wrong. See, the problem is you can't let kids get away with wrong. Because they assume you have sanctioned it. This boy had rebellion in his heart. Because even after all David had done for him, he still stood outside the court plotting the overthrow of his own father. Ain't that some mess? But while we do, David had done everything. See, sometimes you can do too much for kids. You can't afford to let people realize there are no consequences for their actions. Because if they begin to think there are no consequences, why change? Why should I change if there are no consequences? But David says, "Hear my cry, O God, attend from the ends of the earth." You know, there are sometimes you can find yourself in a situation that you are removed from everything that brings you comfort and security and makes you feel safe. And listen, don't misunderstand me. And you can be in your house and still feel that way. Because you got so much mess going on in your life. And you have you ever noticed at the moments when you're dealing with the most stuff, you got the least friends? Have you ever noticed when you're dealing with the most stuff, there ain't nobody to come alongside to give you some encouragement, to kind of help you out and say, listen, I understand, I'm with you. Listen, I got a couple dollars, I can help you. I got some food, I can feed you. I got a bed you can sleep in. I got all these different things that can help. You know, you ain't got none of them. See, and you feel like you at the ends of the earth. And David said, from the ends of the earth, listen, I'm away from, I can't even enter into the temple and pray. Sometimes you're in a situation, you can't even get to church. But aren't you glad God just ain't in the building? No matter how far away you feel from him, he is never that far from you. One commentator said, listen, when you're at the ends of the earth, that means you're closer to heaven. He said, but from the ends of the earth will I cry unto thee. Think about it. His family messed up. His home messed up. His relationships messed up. His women messed up. Kids is tricked all up. Because now with all the kids David had, how come none of them came to the rescue? Then what makes so bad? While he's on the run, he runs into this guy named Ziba. Now Ziba was the servant of this kid by the name of Mephibosheth. Mephibosheth was a kid that David had mercy on and brought into his own house and took care of him and sat him at his own table. So David wanted to know, well, Mephibosheth, if you coming out here, where's your master? Oh, your master's with your son. My master's with your son. Wait a minute. The kid I brought into my house and fed him and clothed him and showed mercy on him, he is with my son who's trying to kill me. See, here's the thing. When it rains, it pours. And the folks who should know better. And have you ever noticed, it seemed like the folk to, see, here's the reason why you never do anything for people expecting the return to come from them. Because if you expect the people you bless to bless you back, you're going to be in strife all your life. Because if there was anybody who should have been hard on David's heels, it should have been Mephibosheth. But he didn't join with Absalom in the rebellion. But his servant had enough sense to say, this ain't right. And it's amazing that help can sometimes come from where you least expect it. See, because I don't care how bad it get, God always got somebody. But it's never who you expect. And see, and it's no need in you getting angry with the people you have helped. I hope what I'm going to tell you might help. The reason why you shouldn't look for help from the people you helped, because if you helped them, they was never in a position to help you to start with. Y'all get that?
Yes.
So as you handing them that money, doing them that favor, understand that you do not, they now do not owe you nothing. I mean, they do, but you don't expect it. Because some people are eternally needy. And no matter how much you do for them, they waiting for the next thing you can do for them. They ain't never going to be in a position where they're going to do for you. And if they get in a position, they ain't going to do it. So get over it. You need to be in a position that God is going to be my source. And if this booger don't ever pay me back, God going to bless me. That's why God said, he that giveth to the poor lendeth to the Lord. See, don't be looking back from it for them. Because has it ever occurred to you that it's a reason why they in the mess they in to start with, that they need your help? Okay. Y'all. Now, from the ends of the earth will I cry unto thee. Here's the thing. No matter where you find yourself, you can always cry out to God. But I want you to understand, David did not automatically think God was going to help him just because he was in trouble. That's why he cried out to him. See, there's a lot of times we think God is on autopilot. He see the mess, and he going to get me out. First of all, you have not because you ask not. See, and you have to understand, you would think that when people were in trouble, they would quickly run to God. You would think that. But see, if you read the Bible, especially the book of Judges, you will discover that people don't jump and ask God right away when they get in trouble. The children of Israel were constantly getting in trouble, and it was only after trouble had wore them out. See, I never liked trouble. I started hollering with the first whip. Soon as my mother went to swing, I started screaming before I got hit. I screamed in anticipation of the hit. I'm not going to sit there and wait for you to beat me 47 times. Then I'm going to go, I started screaming in advance. Prophetic screaming, so to speak. But Israel would get in trouble, be overrun by the enemy, and they would actually be in captivity for a while before they would finally cry out to God. Yep. Let me tell you what that's all about. That's about pride and ego. Yep. That's about, I'm going to work myself out of my own problem. Yes. But I got word for you. There's some mess you in, you can't get you out. And one of the primary reasons why you can't get you out is because you can't change the way you think to get out. Because it's the way you think that got you in it. And there's some mess you ain't going to get out because God don't want you to think you blessed to the point where you will walk out of stuff because of you. So you're going to stay in it until you get past you. Anybody ever been to the end of their rope? You know why there's an end to ropes? So you can get to the end of you. Because as much as none of us want to admit it, we are our biggest problem. The devil ain't your biggest problem. done found more ways to get in trouble all by myself. And unlike Flip Wilson, I know the devil didn't make me do it. I did it because I wanted to do it. Now, don't misunderstand me. He made it easy. But he ain't make me do it. And he ain't make you do it either. The devil ain't make David stay home. The devil ain't make David look over that wall. The devil ain't make David get that girl number. Yo, babe. The devil ain't text that woman. The devil ain't make David not discipline that boy. See, here's the thing that happened with his son. He stopped being afraid of him. You know, we was afraid of our parents. First of all, I thought my mother and father were crazy. Matter of fact, I knew they were crazy. That's why when my kids came along and I saw how my parents, I'm like, who are y'all? See, grandparents, listen, first of all, your grandparents are not the real people. Okay, don't even think that's who they are. I would watch how my mother would deal with my kids, and I'm wondering, who is this woman? But I realized, you got to understand something about grandparents. Grandparents are trying to get to heaven now. When they were parents, they were trying to send their kids. But David says, from the ends of the earth will I cry. But then he goes on and says, when my heart is overwhelmed. Anybody ever been in a situation where your heart is overwhelmed? Listen. That word overwhelmed literally is a Hebrew word, literally means to be without strength, to be sickly, to languish, to faint, to the point where there's nothing, you got nothing else. You got no more strength. You so overwhelmed, you can't do anything. You can't do anything. He says, when my heart is overwhelmed. See, that's the end of your rope. That's where you can't do nothing else. But it's so bad, not only can you not do anything else, you can't even make the move to get the help. That's why the next thing is, my heart, lead me to the rock. See, I can't get me to the rock. I can't take me to the rock. My GPS won't direct me to the rock. You got to lead me to the rock. See, that's really what that song, Take Me to the King, is all about. Take me to the King. I have, and listen, my heart is torn to pieces. It's my offering. I got nothing else. See, when your heart is overwhelmed, you got nothing else. You got no fight. You got no pride. You got no ego. You got no self-esteem. All you got is hurt. All you got is, I'm in the midst of this mess, and you can't see nothing else. All you can see is the mess you in. And somebody got to take you by the hand and lead you. And see, David didn't want to be led just anywhere. He said, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. See, I need something that's better than I am. I need something that will go beyond how I think. See, higher than I is higher than I think. See, God's ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. In other words, lead me somewhere I can't get me. And you know, it takes a certain type of mindset to realize, not only can I not fix it, I can't even get to where the fix is. I need somebody else to take me to the king. I need somebody else to lead me to the rock. And David's cry is to God, God, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Take me to something that's above my situation. I find it fascinating that David wrote in Psalms 28, he says, to you I call, O Lord, my rock. Psalms 42:9 says, I say to God, my rock. Psalm 78 says, they remembered that God was their rock. Psalms 89 says that you are my Father, my God, the rock, my Savior. Psalms 92 says the Lord is upright. He is my rock. Psalms 95 says, come, let us sing, listen, joy, listen for the joy of the Lord. Let us shout aloud the rock of our salvation. He said, listen, lead me to the rock. Now, you know, there's a story about a guy that was his ship sunk and he swam, and finally he came across this rock jetting about the water, and he climbed up on the rock, and after a few days they found him and rescued him, and we got back home and sat around his friends and family, and they were saying, yeah, but weren't you afraid? Weren't you trembling with fear? He said, I was shaking, but the rock wasn't. See, sometimes you got to get a hold of something that's not moved like you moved. That ain't affected by the stuff that's affecting you. And even though you're still shaking, be a hold of something that's not moving. And David said, lift me to some place. Take me somewhere out of my situation, out of my circumstances, out of my hurt. Listen, you got to understand something. Even on the rock, the situation hasn't changed, just you've changed. See, when you get above your circumstances, stuff look different. You ever been on a plane and look out the window and see how small everything looks from a high altitude? See, if you get high enough, everything looks smaller. I don't care how it's big when you're in it. When you're above it, it looks different. It don't look so bad from a high place. And David said, listen, as long as I'm wallowing in it, I can't do nothing about it. And I can't even change how I feel. But if you'll lead me to a higher place, it's not going to change my circumstances, but it's going to change me in my circumstances. And see, a lot of times, the best way to win a fight is not to get new skill, get a new attitude. But see, here's the thing. David in the psalm, and I got to go because my time is almost up. David in the midst of this situation, and he says, lead me to a rock that's higher than I. But then he goes and reminds God about some stuff, about the type. He said, for thou hast been a shelter for me. See, so he don't just want any kind of rock. He wants a rock that can be a shelter. Come on now. See, that's the thing. See, he's reminded. His thing is, I understand I'm in the middle of this mess, but this ain't the first time I've been in a mess. This ain't the first time I messed up. This ain't the first time I got it wrong. This ain't the first time that I done had enemies that have come against me. But you have in times past when I've messed up, when I've been in a bad situation, you've still been a shelter for me. See, sometimes you not only got to remind God, you got to remind yourself who he has already been to you. Because, see, the devil wants you to forget who God's been to you in the past when you're dealing with your current mess. He's so busy beating you up over what you done, you forgot you got a shelter. You forgot you got a hiding place. See, you forgot you got a place that you can abide. The Bible says, under the shadow of the Almighty. And David, in the midst of his despair, in the midst of his flight, in the midst of his situation, he takes time out to say, God, not only do I want you to lead me to the rock, I want to remind you that in the past, you have been a shelter for me. See, I'm the one you shelter. I'm the one you shelter. Come on now. See, sometimes you got to remember and even remind yourself, I'm the one that God shelters. Despite my mess, despite my mistakes, I'm the one he shelters. But he goes on, he says, and thou hast been a strong tower from my enemy. So you got to understand the thing about a tower. You know, in Puerto Rico, they got this rainforest jungle. It used to be jungle when I was a kid. Now they're rainforest called El Yunque. And in the middle of the rainforest, they had this tower. And it's, I think it's like 98 steps up to the top. But when you get on the top of that tower, see, you got to understand why you in El Yunque. El Yunque is a classic example of what nature does when ain't nobody bothering it. When nature can nature. See, going through El Yunque reminds you why God told Adam he had to dress the garden. Because if you let stuff just run amok, that's just what it'll do. And El Yunque is an example of nature run amok. And so you can kind of get lost in the abundance of greenery. As a matter of fact, you know, last Sunday they gave a legend about whole groups of people who've gone in the paths and never came out. Even though there are no ferocious animals in El Yunque. Because the only way you got to Puerto Rico is you had to fly or swim. And most dangerous stuff can't fly and it don't swim. So it couldn't get to the island. But when you stand on the top of this tower, you can see almost the whole island. But more importantly, you can see the harbor. You can see the water. You can see the ships. You can see the beaches. Because see, from a high tower, you got a different vantage point. See, you can see over the mess from a high tower. See, from a high tower, you can see where the water is. You can see where the refreshing is. You can see where the help is. You can see which direction you need to go to get out from a high tower. The other thing about being in a high tower, in a strong tower, is you're above your enemy. And see, the thing about being up high, you can drop small stuff from a high altitude. If it hits your enemy, it's going to bump you off. See, that same rock that wouldn't have done nothing when you face to face, when you're in a high place, it becomes a missile. See, sometimes you don't need new weapons. You just need a new angle. And God will put you in a place where what you have will work. He ain't got to give you nothing new. He just got to elevate you. He just got to change your angle. He got to change your perspective. He got to put you above the enemy. And that's what God wants to do today. God wants to lift you out of your circumstances. He wants to change your view. He wants to change your perspective. But see, if you don't have a relationship with him, he can't do it for you. See, it don't matter how deep the mess. It don't matter how long you've been in it. God can be your shelter. He can be your strong tower from the enemy. He can change your vantage point. See, he don't have to give you more. He just needs to change angle. He can show you how what you already have is sufficient. He can show you how you can win with what he's already blessed you with. I know we think, boy, if only I had more. Let me tell you something. You don't need more stuff. You just need more of him. And even more to the point, you need to give him more of you. I don't know. Maybe you're here today and you know what? Maybe your heart is overwhelmed. Or maybe you've been to that place where David was. Well, it's just messed up. Rather, you made the mess or somebody else made the mess or you helped, or you and somebody else made the mess. It's a mess. And you got to that point where, you know what? You done ran out of rope. You done ran out of hope. You done ran out of everything. You done ran out of friends. Because if you notice, like David, where your friends at? Where was the rest of his kids while his son was chasing him and he running for his life? Where was his counsel? Ahithophel was, the Bible says, was as the oracles of God. David had to actually send somebody else to go and contradict everything Ahithophel, because of if Absalom had listened to Ahithophel, David would have been dead. Because Ahithophel was spot on. Ahithophel said, listen, give me some chariots, some horses. Let me go track him down while he's tired. Let me go get him right now. He can't do nothing. He said, I'll get him and bump him off right now to be done. I'll bring him back here and show you his dead body. And you know what? He'd have got him. But there was somebody else in the camp saying, nah, you know David was a man of war. He ready. Let me tell you something. There was no war in David. The fight was gone. But isn't it amazing that even when there's no fight left in us, God will protect us? Even when the circumstances have taken everything out of us, God will raise up a defender to speak and confound the enemy. Stand to your feet. Who's doing altar? Rob, you doing altar? Who's doing altar? Larry? Okay. I'm going to ask you, when you're in trouble, when your heart is overwhelmed, who do you cry out to? Who's your rock? Who's your strong tower? Who do you rely on? Or are you still figuring it out yourself? You still think, see, I'm going to tell you why you got all the problems, because you got all the answers. See, the problem is, sometimes you need to know less. You got too much of the wrong kind of information. Sometimes folks are too smart for God to help them. You're trapped in your own intellect. You're reasoning wrong. But when you're ready to cry out, hear my cry, oh God, attend unto my prayer. When you're ready to say from the ends of the earth, from the ends of the rope, from the ends of despair, from the ends of depression, from the ends of frustration, from the end of me, I will cry unto thee. My heart is overwhelmed. I can't even see the next step. I don't know how to get there from here. David cried out, lead me to the rock, Lord, that is higher than I. GPS can't get me there. My friends can't get me there. Lead me to the rock. Hallelujah.